Now this week, we are seeking to bring you some lessons from the Gospel according to Luke. And today, we want to read from chapter 2, commencing our reading at verse 41 and reading to the end of the chapter. The Gospel according to Luke, and chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. When they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth, was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these scriptures. Shall we bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to thee again, approaching thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this great privilege of being able to come to thee under all circumstances of life and to speak to thee as a member of a family would speak to a father. And so we come to thee today asking that in mercy thou shalt look down upon every listener. Yea, we would ask thee to remember every one of thy children at this time. Bless them wherever they may be. Also we pray for those in place of authority. Give wisdom and guidance to each of them. Grant, O God, that this country of ours may be guided aright at this time. Grant, O God, that we may continue to have peace and quietness and be able to live our lives in all godliness and honesty. Take our thanks for every blessing that we enjoy and be with us now at this time for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. And now let me remind every listener again that in chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke, there are a great number of movements, and it covers a vast area of time. For example, it started off at the time when they were to have the enrollment for the taxes. That was a political move, a historical event, but it also fitted in with a great prophetic truth made known away back in the Old Testament. And it takes us to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was born at Bethlehem. But now when we come right on to the section that I have read today, you've covered a period of 12 years. And when he is 12 years of age, he's going up with Joseph and Mary to Jerusalem to attend one of the Jewish feasts called the Passover. Now when you come to the very end of this chapter, the last verse says, And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. That covers the period from the time he was 12 years of age till the time he was 30 years of age. And when you move into chapter 3, you're introduced to the time when John the Baptist goes out and commences his public ministry, preparing the way for the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation. So that chapter 2 of the Gospel according to Luke covers a period of approximately 30 years. But what is before us today in this section, at the end of the chapter, is the journey that they took to Jerusalem when he was 12 years of age. Now, if we are to learn any lesson from this passage, I suggest it is this. We must learn that Christ is vital in life. He is vital in the religious life. He is vital in our social life. He is vital in our domestic life. Now, don't misunderstand me. It is quite possible for people to live their domestic life and to shut the door, as it were, and keep the Lord Jesus Christ outside. That's possible. Likewise, it is possible for a group of people to live their social life and give no thought whatever to the person of Jesus Christ. Likewise, it is possible for a group of people to be very, very religious and to attend to all the religious customs and ceremonies and yet Christ to be outside of it all. That's possible. However, I hurry to say this, that the people who live their lives, whether it's the domestic sphere, the social sphere, or the religious sphere, if they live without Christ, they are missing the vital thing in life. Let us see how that works out in the passage I have read. First of all, we're faced with certain spiritual devotions. There was a feast to be held at Jerusalem. It's called the Feast of the Passover. Now, if you are familiar with your Bibles, you will know this, that the Jewish nation's calendar began with the Passover. When they were in bondage down in the land of Egypt, and the Passover was introduced, God says, "This shall be the beginning of months unto you." It was the time when God changed the calendar. That was the time when the Jews started with a new calendar, and it started off with the Feast of the Passover. If you happen to be familiar with your Bible, you will know this, that the Jewish calendar was marked out by certain feasts. Sometimes they are referred to as the Feasts of Jehovah. Sometimes people speak of them as the Feasts of the Lord, or they may be referred to as the Feasts of the Jews. However, there were these certain feasts that marked the Jewish calendar. This was the first one, the Feast of the Passover. Every year they were expected to keep the Passover to bring to remembrance the great work of God on their behalf when they were redeemed out of the bondage of Egypt. It was a customary thing for Jewish males to go to Jerusalem, that is, if they were within striking distance of the capital city, they would go to Jerusalem three times a year for three of their feasts. This was the first one. Now, at this particular point, the young lad, whose name was called Jesus, who was known as Jesus of Nazareth, but who is also Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, he was now 12 years of age. It was time for them to go to the Passover. Now notice then, there was a religious exercise. People were leaving their homes in the north from Galilee, some of them down through Samaria, from the various villages, resting there on the hillsides or in the valleys. People would start to make their way towards Jerusalem. No doubt, they would create, as it were, certain caravan treks. The group would grow as they neared the city. And so you might see the people coming in, walking, some with their donkeys. And so the groups would come from the north, making for Jerusalem. The city would be very busy. Every possible place would be occupied. Some would have their little booths of tents and sleeping in any place at all where they could stay for the time of the Passover. Now the Lord Jesus Christ was 12 years of age. That's the time when a young Jewish boy was being looked upon as reaching the age of young manhood. That is, he's going to accept responsibility. And so he's taken with him for this religious exercise, going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. You know, it's quite a thing when young folks begin to realize their responsibility towards the things of God. Every young Jewish boy in these days was taught. He was taught the 10 words. He was taught the history of his nation. He was taught to revere God and the things of God. There was religious exercise. But now I want you to notice this. Because of this religious exercise and the Passover being kept and the crowds going into Jerusalem, it would create much excitement. So he'd be going up there in the midst of this when all the excitement was being witnessed at Jerusalem. You know, if we seek to take that and apply it to the present day, we discover this, that even in religious circles today, where there's much religious exercise, it can result in a lot of religious excitement. You know, after all, we're still human, and people are apt to get excited. A crowd draws a crowd, they say, and some folk like to be in the crowd. If there's any excitement, they'll rush along to see what it is. And so there was excitement here in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. But I want to show you this, and this is the main lesson from this particular little section now regards this spiritual devotion. There was absolute emptiness. You think that's possible? For people to be engaged perhaps for a whole week in a religious exercise, and excitement all around them and all the crowd excited, and yet at the end to be absolutely empty and achieve nothing. Perhaps you're saying, well, how do you arrive at that conclusion? Simply this. Verse 43 says, and when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Here they were, journeying without Christ. Oh, my friend, you know, it's possible for men and women to be captivated with religious exercises. It's possible for people to be religious all the days, to attend certain services week after week, and to pride themselves in what they do, and yet, when it's all over, to come to the realization it has never met their spiritual need. You see, after all, a person can be religious without being a Christian. A person can even attend a Christian service without being a Christian. It's so easy to become wrapped up in the things of the church. It's so easy to become wrapped up in religious ceremonies and in religious excitement, and yet to miss the vital thing. I commenced this study by saying that we must learn the lesson: Christ is vital in life, vital in the religious life. Here were people engaged for a number of days in a religious ceremony, yet they turn to go home without Christ. I want to ask each listener today, you've been religious for a long time perhaps, my friend. Will you test yourself today? Do you know the Savior? Do you have Christ as your Savior? Does Christ have you? Are you one of His? Or is it possible that you're journeying on through life without Christ? Also, I said that Christ is vital in the social life. You see, while it's true that it says Joseph and his mother knew not of it, remember, there was a company there. For verse 44 says, but they, supposing him to have been in the company. Now, here was the sad discovery. Jesus was not in the company. Oh, they were keeping company with all their friends, and these friends were good people. They also had been up at Jerusalem for the feast. They also had been engaged in the religious exercises. And as they're journeying home, they discover that Christ is not in the company. You know, it's a very remarkable thing when you come to the book of the Revelation in chapter 3, the message there to the church of the Laodiceans. Here is what you discover. That church was very active. They were going through all the motions. But the door was shut and Christ was on the outside. He wasn't inside. He wasn't part of their fellowship. And he's standing at the door and knocking and said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." He was a church going on with the usual customary ceremonials, and Christ was not in the midst. Likewise here in Luke chapter 2, here's a group of good people, religious people. They've been engaged in the religious convention for a week and they're going home, but Christ was not in their company. Oh, what a sad discovery to find they were journeying without the Savior. How did they make this mistake? First of all, because of their thoughts. Supposing him to have been in the company. Here is the error of supposition. You know, it's so easy to suppose that a thing is all right when it's all wrong. It's so easy to suppose. For example, we read of a woman in the Word of God who was standing in the garden. She was mourning, weeping. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "Why weepest thou?" She said, "Sir, if you have taken away, tell me where you have taken his body. I'll go and get him." Supposing that she was speaking to the gardener. She just supposed that. For the fact of the matter is, it was Christ himself that was there, and she knew it not. Supposing him to have been the gardener. I read of another man in the Word of God who was awakened one night out of his sleep with such a fright because there was an earthquake. And he thought that all the prisoners under his command had fled. He thought the prisoners had escaped, which meant his own life was in jeopardy. And he, supposing the prisoners to have fled, he was about to take his little sword and end his own life. And he was wrong. His supposition was wrong. I wonder how many people are making this error today, the error of supposition. My friend, they supposed him to be in the company. Is it possible I'm speaking to someone today who supposes, and you're just supposing, my friend, that you're a Christian, and you're not. It may be that you're supposing that you're all right and that God will be kind to you. Well, all the time you've never accepted his gift. It may be you're supposing that you'll be able to slip in. Well, all the time you're traveling in the wrong direction. You see, you cannot afford to make this mistake of supposing. Then I want you to notice something else. They, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. They went a whole day's journey without finding out. It may be I'm speaking to someone today who has been living for many, many years. And no one has ever pointed out to you, my friend, that you need to be saved. It may be that you've thought or supposed that you're all right. And if someone was to tell you that you need to be saved, you need to be born again, perhaps you would be offended. See, my friend, it's not being an enemy of yours, it's being a friend of yours when someone comes and tells you the truth. Now just suppose now for a moment that someone had gone to Joseph and Mary when they were only an hour on the journey and they said to them, "Listen, is Jesus in the company?" Well, they might have looked around to find out, but no one thought in saying that. They went a whole day, and when the roll call was taken at night, they discovered he wasn't there. Oh, what wasted time. Some folk have wasted years, wasted almost their whole life. And they haven't found out that they're journeying without the Savior. Then I want you to notice again, not only did they waste that time, but they went seating him amongst their kinsfolk and acquaintance. But he wasn't there. They went to the wrong place. They sought the Savior in the wrong place amongst the wrong people. If they had gone back to where they lost him, they would have found him. But it took a whole day to get back. And then it was on the third day that they found him, just exactly where they had lost him. My friend, have you been searching for the Savior? He's nearby thee. Yes, the Christ that died on Calvary's cross and rose again from the dead lives in heaven today at the right hand of the Father on high. Look, he's close by. He's ready to save you. He's ready to listen to your call for mercy. But oh, it was a sad discovery. There was a sorrowful delay. After 3 days, they found him. But they found him in the right place. They found him in the temple. That was the place where they had lost him. Came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors. You know, when I think of those 3 days, I am reminded of those who stood at the cross, and they saw him crucified. Then they saw his body laid in Joseph's tomb. And after 3 days, when they went back to the tomb, they found the stone rolled away. The tomb was empty. Christ had arisen. Ah, those 3 days. Oh, my friend, it brings us to resurrection ground. Do you realize this, that the Christ who can save you is not because he was born in Bethlehem. That was only the first step. Not simply because he died on the cross, but because he's a living Christ. He rose again from the dead on the third day. He's the living Christ, able and willing to save to the very uttermost all who will come unto God by him. They found him. May I ask you, my friend, have you found the Savior? Let me put it in another way. Has the Savior found you? Have you come to an agreement with him? Have you trusted him a Savior, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions? And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, when Mary spoke to him, here is how he answered her. He said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I indicated at the beginning of this study that a Jewish boy at the age of 12 began to accept personal responsibilities. He had to stand on his own feet now. He's got to accept responsibility for life. And he said here would be his responsibility. From now on, you realize this, I must be about my Father's business. And his Father's business was going to take him ultimately to the cross of Calvary, through death, and then to rise triumphant from the dead. That is, he would have to make atonement. Now then, they found him, and they heard him saying, I must be about my Father's business. But isn't it strange? They understood not the saying which he spake unto them. I ask you, my friend, do you? And then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Now let me remind you, my friend, it's possible for us to be journeying through life without the Savior. If Mary and Joseph could make this mistake on the grounds of a false supposition, oh, I ask you, what about you? Do you know the Savior? Are you walking with him? Are you journeying with him? Enoch, you know, walk with God. He was translated. Oh, what a joy to walk in harmony with the living God. Oh, what a life of joy to walk in harmony with the living Christ. Do you know him?